All right. Good morning, everyone. I invite you to have a seat. Find a chair.
Awesome.
Well, welcome to chapel this Wednesday morning. The birds are chirping outside. It's a good day. We're going to start off with two worship songs. The first one is Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. And in this Lent season, this week is about seeing. And so as we sing this, may we just invite God to show us places in our lives, just to open our eyes to what he wants us to see. And the second song is called Come Alive. And Lauren Daigle wrote this based on the passage in Ezekiel talking about this massive army of just bones and just breathing that life into the bones and seeing a whole army rise. So, that's where we're coming from this morning. So I invite you to stand and join with us in praising God.
Thank you.
that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see.
Gathered today hosting Kevin Ressler and pleased to host him. Kevin is a 2007 graduate of EMU, and the title of his address today is Fully Human, and it does draw from this Ezekiel passage in 37 of the dry bones. And he went to school here with MJ Sharp, the fellow we've been inviting folks to gather for prayer around the loss of his life, and his pray for his family and colleagues and such. And so Kevin tells me he'll be talking about Michael some as well. It's timely and appropriate. Kevin is a poet, playwright, thespian, wannabe novelist, lover of the arts, and father to Acacia, husband to Melissa, with anticipation for another child in May. He believes in injustice and hopes to work against it instead of pretending it away. He's been to over a dozen so-called developing countries and found that a lack of economic infrastructure doesn't mean people are not developed spiritually or hospitably. As a Mennonite and Anabaptist, Kevin's understanding of life's work purpose is service-driven for symptoms and solution-focused for systems. He's from Lancaster, left Lancaster to go to college here at EMU, and returned to Lancaster. His father gave him the best advice when he was around 15 years old, saying this: "Kevin, you can do whatever you want, but I want you to know that I'll be proud of you, what I'll be proud of you for. I'll be proud as long as you, whatever you do, you help people." And lastly, Kevin makes his living as executive director of Lancaster Meals on Wheels. He's running for mayor of Lancaster City, and you'll see that on his t-shirt. If you know people in Lancaster and you engage with Kevin, you might send a message to them, vote for this guy, or at least consider it, right? And he serves on a variety of community boards as well. And by the way, he much prefers deep conversations to small talk. Expecting deep chapel talk from you as well. Not small talk, chapel talk. Now, it's good to have you, Kevin. The scripture that he offered to us, we'll read first and present, and then directly to Kevin's presentation.
A reading from Ezekiel 37. "The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry."
"Mortal, can these bones live?"
"O Lord God, you know."
"Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.'"
So I prophesied as had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them.
"Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, 'Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.'"
When I picked this scriptural passage, I did not know that my friend MJ Sharp would die in a few days. When I picked this scriptural passage, I sat down and grabbed all of my seminary-instructed resources, and I studied the history of the text. And I wrote a really good sermon. I don't have that sermon with me here today, because that sermon doesn't matter. Because the Bible gives us comfort, and it gives us confusion. As I found on social media the past couple of days that they had found two bodies in Congo, and it said they were Caucasian, but they were waiting for the dental records. I did not allow my mind to drift to what had happened to my friend. As I drove here this morning at 5 in the morning, NPR had a story. And it said Michael Sharp. And I thought about the scripture that tells me God will raise the dead. And I received no comfort because my friend will not come back. It is a difficult thing to follow a faith that calls us into the unsafe places. And this is why we spend way too much time deciding who is allowed in and who is not allowed in. So that we, in our relative comfort, can feel better because at least we're not them. Why we shut God's doors on other people who are begging for healing. And it is stories like that of Michael Sharp which should remind us to stop it. To stop telling someone they aren't good enough because for God they are. To stop telling someone that the way they live, the way they love, or the way that they yearn to live in community is not the way that we see for them. It is time that we as Christians begin to reimagine what it means to be called to follow Christ, who was fully human as well as fully divine. There is no excuse for us not to put ourselves in the places where the bones get dry and they do not find the sinews to come back. It is no longer acceptable for us as extremely wealthy citizens of this world to think that we are doing enough when we pray without action. Those bones in this story get sinew and flesh, but they do not live again until they get breath. I am always reminded when I breathe that I breathe the same air that Jesus breathed. Yes, fully divine, but never forget fully human. Jesus could no more live without air than we can. And as that air entered and exited the lungs of Christ, the breath of the Lord went in the direction of all four winds for all time. After I heard the NPR story, say Michael's name, I pressed the power button on my radio and I wept. I drove and I wept. I drove and I wept. And eventually, as I found myself gathering strength, I took my phone, decided I did not want to listen to any more news, and so I plugged in the cord, hit play on my music, and the first song that came on randomly was from the musical Hamilton. The last song in that musical. Who lives, who dies, who tells your story? And I wept. Because who will tell my friend's story? A man who chose to go into dangerous places without a weapon to make safer communities for strangers who he did not know. That same place is a place that my cousin, who was in MJ's grade, lived with her children and husband for 3 years, a different part of Congo. And the other friends of mine from EMU, Jill and Johan, and Adam and Sarah. This place here, exists to form leaders. Not the type of leaders the world tells us we need. A power unseen in conventional wisdom, a power rooted in a faith, in a God who comes fully human and able to die, fighting against systems of hatred and injustice, leaving us a real and practical example, and leaving with us the breath that Christ breathed, to breathe ourselves, to speak the stories of those martyrs before and those martyrs today. Will we as a church, and you as the future of this church, of this community, will you choose to breathe in and breathe out the stories? Will you choose comfort and luxury? Will you choose caution? Or will you choose Christ? That sign out front of this campus says, "Thy word is truth." And there are different people who see that sign in different ways. The Ruah of God, the Word of God, to me, is not dried ink on parchment. It is the opportunity to participate in divinity, to take your skin and the sinews that hold your bones together, and to walk into the dangerous places, to take on the mantle of justice, to put yourself in a place where you may lose your life so that someone else may live. I have a cousin on the other side of my family who travels frequently to Congo for her work with the Episcopal Church out of Washington, D.C. Who am I amongst this living cloud of witnesses who do not fear, or when they do, they press on? Who am I in this world if I am not courageous enough to see the suffering of another and place myself in a position to change that? It's a choice we all can make. It isn't the Christ choice. Ezekiel talks about an army. What kind of army will we be? Ron Sider once challenged us with that very question, and it created Christian peacemaker teams. As you study in this place, a hall of legends of people who have changed the world, how will you go forth? What will you do? What are the armies of love that you will create? The circumstances that you will change? Ezekiel also reminds us that that valley of dry bones is large, innumerable. Well, so too are the valleys in our own times. I fear that NPR will not say Michael's name again. We'll be distracted by the politics of our more local circumstances. He will not receive the same type of hero's welcome that a soldier would have if he were to have died. But we can tell his story, the stories of others who have come from this community, or other communities that we know of, who who have done a type of service, a service that was known to have a risk, that was gladly taken on because the impact is the kind of paradigm-changing opportunity that Jesus' self provided walking on this earth and leaving on the cross. My invitation to each of you, student, faculty, community member, is to find a story of someone who's made a change, small or large. Whether the consequence was their life or their comfort. And I want you to share that story with at least one other person. Something that inspires you to step beyond the boundaries of your courage into a new world, beyond the measure you ever thought that you could make. Breathe in the breath of God, and then tell the story. Amen.
There are opportunities to gather together today. If you're free in third period and you'd like to continue conversation with Kevin, Gloria, will you be there as well? And some others in Common Grounds Coffee House, just informal gatherings. If you are wanting to gather with others who are grieving the loss of MJ's life and his colleagues and interpreter and others, we'll meet twice today in Martin Chapel at noon. That's a change from the first time I announced, at noon and at 3:45. And we anticipate an opportunity to indeed be telling the story formally, his story, his stories, celebrating, honoring the dedicated life of MJ sometime in April, date to be determined. And I'm eager to know who among the campus community would like to be part of planning that, maybe sharing reflections. Maybe you know who we should invite to come and help us tell MJ's stories and keep that legacy as an inspiration to all of us. It's been good to gather today in a hard space. Kevin, you're absolutely the right person to be with us today, for meaning and purpose well beyond that for which we invited you initially. Thank you for being here. Go in peace.